Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for your word. We give you thanks for your music. Sometimes we don't quite get it, but we try, Lord, and just know, then we pray that you know that the words are in our hearts and express our faith and trust in you. And may we be strengthened and touched by your word today. May it speak to us and say to us whatever you want each of us to hear. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. When my wife Barbara was growing up, there were those times that, believe it or not, those of you who know her, she actually got in trouble. And her dad, in his fatherly voice, would tell her what she had done wrong. Now, like most children, when their parent is chastising them for something that they did, and they're trying to explain what they should have done right, the child often is saying, "I know, I know, I know." See, I've got it well rehearsed because I practiced a lot when I was little. But when Barbara said that, then her father said with a voice of profundity, "If you know, then why don't you do?" She hated that. You know, we often trumpet our knowledge and the virtues of knowledge. I know, I know. Knowledge is the key that unlocks a life of possibilities for us. Several weeks ago, we heard the story of the lawyer who asked Jesus what he must do to gain eternal life. And Jesus says to him, "What do the scriptures say? What's your knowledge?" And the lawyer says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Jesus said, "Good. You've answered correctly. Do that and you will live." Now, the lawyer had the knowledge part down cold. But we get the sense from Jesus, "Do that and you will live," that there's something still missing here. Barbara Brown Taylor last week at Chautauqua talked about the fact that many good Christians, like the lawyer, have the knowledge part down cold. We know what we believe and why. They believe that people believe that you need to know the scriptures, you need to know the law. And when somebody might ask you, "Did you become a Christian?" then you need to know the day, the hour, and the minute you were born again. Many have read their Bible from cover to cover, not once, but several times. Even in our churches of more moderate to liberal theology, we say that all you need to know is Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You see, all of this is based on a theology of grace alone. That none of us can work out our own personal salvation. The saving grace of Christ comes to us by faith, not by anything we do to get it. We Presbyterians firmly believe in that. Dr. David Loos, a professor in a Lutheran seminary, writes concerning that, "I am part of a Christian tradition that cherishes the promise that not only do we not have to earn our salvation, but that we actually can't. It is, as Jesus declares in Luke's Gospel, God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Gifts, by definition, cannot be earned, but only generously given and gratefully received." And as I said, we Presbyterians agree with that. That is our theology as well. In our Hebrews passage, we have one of the great scriptures regarding faith and salvation. But if you notice, as it talked about Abraham, there was also a doing. Abraham had faith. And that faith heard God say to him, "I want you to leave this land, leave your family, leave all that's familiar, and go to a land that I will show you." And Abraham did it. Abraham had faith that called him to move from the land of his birth to a land that he did not know. And Isaiah makes it clear that there is something else that's more important than just the knowledge. Our passage today: I've had enough of burnt offerings of rams and fat of fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who asked this from your hand? Trample my courts no more. Bringing offerings is futile. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and calling of conversation, I cannot endure solemn assemblies with iniquity. Ouch! Dennis Bratcher of the Christian Resource Institute writes about this. There is more to serving God than fulfilling the correct religious duty. Religion and relationship with God as His people are not the same thing. And obedience to God, and he says in parenthesis, hearing, must be lived out in the activity of life. Proper worship is not a ritual to be performed correctly, but an all-encompassing lifestyle that expresses God's own self-revelation. And I think we can lump knowledge with ritual, because ritual is basically an acting out of the knowledge that we have. The knowledge, just as worship, must be lived out in one's life. You know, when a couple, like 5-6 weeks ago now, we had a summer class on whether our nation was founded as a Christian nation. The author of the study said, in the end, the best way to try to answer that question is to look at the people who wrote the Constitution and see if they lived out the Christian faith. Oops. He noted that Thomas Jefferson, one of the key people of the Continental Congress, continued to have slaves. Even when he knew that he would face the wrath of God for slavery. So in other words, they believed the words, but they had trouble acting them out in their lives. Knowledge is no good unless it's lived out. If we know it, then why don't we do it? Throughout its history, our denomination has been big on the knowledge piece. In the early days of our country, our denomination started more colleges than any other denomination. We in the Presbyterian Church believe that it's important that people be able to read and understand the Bible. And because of that, still today there are 64 colleges and 8 seminaries related to the Presbyterian Church. However, I must say that one of the things that makes our denomination unique throughout its history is that we've also been at the forefront of doing what we learn and doing what we believe. We've been at the forefront of mission work, of work for justice, for peace, for rights. And that can be painful. We have seen the pain, we continue to see the pain in our denomination when people do the work of doing their faith. It's putting their faith to work, to lift up others, to stand with those who are oppressed. You see, the faith of knowledge without works is a dead faith. It doesn't go anywhere. It's centered in the person. I have the knowledge, therefore it only affects us. It's a faith that doesn't get it, as it were. God wants us to take what we believe and use it to build relationships, to help others. And in doing that, God becomes incarnate in the midst of those who are looking for God. God comes into the midst of those who need to see God. When we do, we flesh out in powerful ways what we know, so that others can benefit. So there it goes from us to others. Bradshaw reminds us of a danger, again, of a faith without works. The danger raised by an exclusive emphasis on grace alone, as important as that might be in some contexts, is a danger of lapsing into the same kind of attitude that characterized Isaiah's day. That religion itself is a guarantee of right relationship with God. As long as the sacraments are observed, that the liturgy performed, the creed read, as long as one can point back to a time and place where there was an experience that marked achieving the correct status with God, then salvation was assured. That kind of thinking is wrong because it makes no difference. It makes no difference in the life of the world out there, the life of the world around us. We need the knowledge of God and of God's grace. That's what gives us the courage and the will to help others, to stand with others. It teaches us how to stand with others. But we need then to do the second part. We are saved when we recognize that Jesus saved us by showing us the way, by doing. If it's not lived out, then we really don't have the truth. Someone once said, whoever acquires knowledge but does not practice it, it's like the farmer who plows the field but then doesn't sow it. People who know who do what they know confirm that they have the true knowledge. If we know it, we must do it. Amen.